Jesus came as a servant leader. He told us that we must also serve if we wish to be his followers. I'm Brian Patrick as we continue our series on Marks of the True Christian based on Romans 12. Serve the Lord, this time on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off our show on Serve the Lord as we continue our series on the marks of the true Christian. Here's our Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck, the Vice President of Renewal Ministries. Curtis Martin, Founder and President of Focus. And Danny Abramowitz, former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and coach. I'm Brian Patrick. It's good to have you with us. I'm dressed with the other guys today to show off our Crossing the Goal attire.
So why are we doing this?
You can check this out on our website, crossingthegoal.com. Get some for yourself. You got your game plan there, the playbook, I'm sorry. The Bible is our playbook, and we're going to go there to talk about this being a servant.
Always good to find out what the Lord has to say about this. In Luke 16, 13, it says, "No servant can serve two masters." And further down it says, "You cannot serve God and mammon." It's time, I think, guys, for us as men, women, children, to stand up and serve the Lord and the Lord only. Yeah. And if not now, then when? And if not us, then who?
Yeah. I mean, Jesus, the greatest leader that ever walked the face of the earth. And he said, this is how I lead. I am among you as one who serves. So Jesus modeled for us servant leadership as something that he expects us to express in our life as his disciples.
And that root of the word to serve the Lord, to serve is worship. And so the idea that we need to actually worship God, and Jesus Christ came and gave us very specific ideas of how he wanted to be worshiped. There are videos out there that are going viral on the internet right now saying things like, I love Jesus, but I don't like religion. You can't do that. Jesus is a king. If you want to accept the king, you have to embrace his kingdom. He's asking us to serve him in very specific ways, and we want to learn more about that.
And we are going to learn more about serving the Lord with our game plan. Peter and Curtis have it for us next, right here on Crossing the Goal.
Welcome back. I'm Curtis Martin. I'm here with Peter Herbeck, who I might say looks a little bit like a male model in this
men
Crossing
in black.
The Goal.
Men,
very,
men in black,
very sharp.
Baby.
Our theme is flowing from Romans 12, verse 11, yeah. And serving the Lord. We're looking at different characteristics that involve what does it mean to be a godly man, and serving the Lord is part of it. And so we want to look at various aspects of how we serve the Lord through worship, how we serve the Lord through his people. And so when you think about serving the Lord and being having the heart of a servant, what are your thoughts?
Well, really, step one is, as you mentioned up there, just building on your opening statement, that the first way we serve the Lord as his creatures and as his sons and daughters is we offer him worship. And right, we're rightly ordered to the master. The servant has got his eye on the master. And part of what the Spirit does in us, Jesus gave us a spirit, we said last week, to cast fire in our heart. The Spirit prays and teaches us to pray so that we can be rightly ordered to the Lord as his servants.
You know, the beautiful thing when it comes to servant leadership, as we move from serving him to others, what it means to be a servant leader is that as I lead you, I'm more interested in your good than I am in my own.
Yeah.
I'm going to help you get where you're going. And in order to do that, I have to first turn to our Lord, allow him to lead me. Funny thing is about God's servant leadership, he actually doesn't have any needs. He's perfect and infinite. And so he's helping us to become who we're supposed to be. It's actually good for us to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
It's healing to our very broken nature, our wounded nature, to begin to serve him. And as we do, we become who we're meant to be, and it allows us to then become servant leaders for others.
Right, and we say, yes, the question, what does it mean to serve the Lord? First, we talk about worship, but then we also serve the Word. We're servants of his Word, what he's given to us, what he's called us to do. We're servants of the church that he's given to us, our brothers and sisters. We express it there. We're servants of God's mission. Let me give you this quote from Pope John Paul II from his document, Ecclesia in America, it's Church in America. One of the things that we're called to do, he's exhorting all of us here in the Church in America. He talks about servanthood, being a disciple. He says, to follow Jesus involves living as he lived, accepting his message, adopting his way of thinking, embracing his destiny, and sharing in his project, which is the plan of the Father, and it involves inviting everyone to communion with the Trinity and communion with among ourselves in a just and fraternal society. So the servant is got his eye on the master. And part of the reason we can have our eye on the master is because we know that master has his eye on us. Absolutely. The master has us in the palm of his hand. We can become a servant. We can give our lives away for the service of God and the mission of God because we know where human history is going. It's going for the final revelation of the sons and daughters of God and sharing in the Lord's glory.
And what we have to recognize is Christianity is not just like some moral code. This is absolutely revolutionary.
Yeah,
when Jesus empties himself and takes the form of a servant and serves us, God the Father backs up that statement of the way he lived with the resurrection from the dead.
Yeah.
And we have to step back and say, we're not talking about a resurrection from the dead the way Lazarus rose from the dead. Lazarus rose from the dead and then died again.
Yeah.
When Jesus rises from the dead, he never dies again. This is a whole new order of living.
Yeah.
And God is saying, this is what I'm calling you to. Now, trust me, you can actually take the time to serve me. I've got your back. I've got your best interest.
Yeah.
And you can actually imitate my son and serve others.
Here's where you know Paul's exhortation, be transformed by the renewal of your mind and how God's ways are not our ways. When you think about servants in the world, those are people who work for someone else, who are, you know, and nobody wants to be the servant, everybody wants to be the master, everybody wants to be in charge, everybody wants to be the king. And Jesus said, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. Jesus looked at the disciples and they had a desire for greatness. We're made for greatness. Jesus said, I know you're made for greatness. I made you. But I've come to tell you, you got to turn it on its head. Everybody thinks to be great. Everybody's got to be below me. I got to be above them. Jesus is saying, you got it wrong. I'll show you how to be a servant. He washes the disciples' feet and he's vindicated through the resurrection from the dead. And he's the king of all. And he's saying, look, serve the rest and you'll reign with me forever.
This is how counterintuitive our God is. When he shows us how to live, everything he asks us to do at first doesn't seem to make any sense. If you want to be effective and productive, then I want you to take one day a week off and give it to me. But I could get more done if I had 7 days instead of six. Yeah. Why would I possibly do that? But the call to live the Lord's day. Or how about this? With regards to your wealth, give the first 10% of your wealth to me through tithing. But I won't have as much money if I give. And he's saying, if you'll trust me, what you will come to understand is I'm the source of all of your blessings. Yeah. And when you plug into me, you'll live a blessed life, which is so much more than just simply trying to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking how the servant keeps his eye on the hand of the master, too, as a principle I think the scripture talks about. And so in our lives as fathers, as husbands, employees in our jobs, wherever we're in, our eye needs to be on the hand of the master. How can I serve the Lord in this situation that I'm in today, right now, here? And our whole family life, all that we're about is geared towards serving the Lord.
And as we serve him, he serves us because he desires to give us and forms us into the men that he desires us to be. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis. Peter, good game plan. Coach, the nice thing about serving for me, serving the Lord and others, is it gets me out of me, and for me, that's a good thing.
When I let myself get in the way, I'm not very effective. When I serve others, I become much more effective.
It's nice to be served too, so let's see if they'll serve us down
serve
the red zone.
Guys. All right. All right, man.
Let's go. We are ready for a workout here in the red zone. Just got that great crossing the goal attire. You can look pretty sharp in your crossing the goal attire too by going to our website, crossingthegoal.com. We're talking about serving the Lord, and we're going to go back to our playbook there. Danny, this time we're going to go to the Old Testament.
Let's go to Joshua. Joshua 24 and begin with 15. And if you're unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve.
Hmm.
But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it comes over here and it says, and the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and His voice we will obey. Now, this is good back here. Yeah. If I say that me and my family, which I want, we need to serve the Lord. Well, I got to serve the Lord first. And how do I serve the Lord? I think rather than thinking real deep stuff, what I can do out here, start with simple, like, try prayer. Try going to Mass more than just on Sunday. Try obeying the commandments. Try reaching out to others in your family first, or in your sphere if you're single, your friends right there. These kind of things, I think, you don't have to look at some big old broad picture. That's important, but that'll come later on.
Or even thinking about serving the Lord, it's not like, well, there's some people who do it full-time, like priests and religious, and maybe even some of us in different ways, but the rest of us aren't servants in the same kind of way. No, it's just a different kind of service. Every one of us is called into a relationship with Christ. And part of that relationship is that of a servant to a master, to the Lord. And so in every situation, in my house, with my kids, my wife, things you're saying, in the business that I'm in, I'm put there by the Lord. Nothing happens by accident. And I have to ask myself the question, how does the Lord want me to serve Him in this situation? And so wherever I am now for the rest of my life, my passion is to serve the Lord's purpose and plan in every situation that He puts me in. I think that's the biblical picture.
So it's not just like Saturday afternoon we go out and do some service.
Yeah.
Our lives are service.
Look
at our business lives. I mean, almost every man out there either works for somebody or has people working for him. And we understand in a certain sense, what's a typical discussion between a manager who supervises and the worker? Yeah. It is, what's your plan? How are you executing on that plan? And we talk about that, and you plan your work, and then you work your plan. And we know this as part of business, of sports, whatever it is. Yeah. And I have a plan at work. I struggle a little bit to live a plan at home. What's my strategy? I literally just this last week was sitting with my son, Augustine, who's wonderful. He's a high school senior. But earlier in the week, my wife had said, Augustine's got a decision he has to make. And I said, why don't you talk to your dad? And she goes, he said, gosh, I don't know if I can talk to dad about this. It just pierced my heart, and I thought, oh my goodness, I need to get with him as soon as I can. So the very first lunch date we had that we could get to, we went out and had, you know, we were laughing and stuff like that. And about two-thirds of the way through lunch, I said, so mom said, you got something in your mind and you're concerned, hesitant about talking to me. He just kind of, really, she said that? And at first he was a little embarrassed. And then we just had a great conversation and committed not only to have a conversation, but to have more regular conversation.
It's just a
beautiful thing. Yeah. So we're beginning to develop a plan.
Yeah,
and it's just that's when you serve, you have to have a plan.
You know, and what's happening out here too is, you can't serve two masters. You know, that doesn't mean we don't live in the secular world. We got to live in the secular world, but we take, I think, we go out of our way to serve other people through business or whatever you say. Through, I don't want to hurt that person's feelings. I want to make sure this happens or that happens. But what are we doing for the Lord? If you look what's happening, we're pushing Him out of the way. He's not in the equation out here. We're not even serving. We're not even recognizing Him, let alone serving Him.
Yeah.
And you run into a trouble as a country, as a family, as an individual, when you don't serve the Lord. If you make up your mind that I'm going to do it my way, not His way. His way is not good enough. I'm going to show you the real way, Lord.
I think fear of the Lord, the healthy biblical sense of the fear of the Lord, is a good piece of it. Because you know who the Lord is. Because the servant, we're serving the Lord, and there's going to be a time of judgment. I mean, it's just a part of it where the Lord's going to say, how did you serve me?
Yeah.
You know, did you pay attention? Were you concerned about establishing my way, which is life for whatever environment I put you in? Did you ask the question? Did you care? Did you risk? Did you try to do it and step out? And I know there's times for me, even in my own home, like trying to talk to my kids about things that are difficult to talk about. You know, like talk to my boys about sex, you know, and about the whole thing. He's like, well, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Well, you know, I got to do that. Why? And the Lord's saying, He's not yours. He belongs to me. I've given you Him to you so that you impart to Him what I want Him to know. Now stop being afraid or stop being lazy and go do it. And go do what I'm asking you to, telling you to do. I'm the Lord. You're the servant. Go do it. You know, I'll help you. And it's always turned out, honestly, it's always turned out when I just yield to God in my fear or insecurity or this is going to be embarrassing, I don't want to do this kind of stuff, God blesses it.
And it's really important, I think, especially for parents, to realize that serving their families, their children, is really what they're called to do.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people like Curtis who have, you know, a lot of kids and they say, I can't go out and do these kinds of things. Like, no, your service is right there. Those children need you. And you know, it's no less important than anything, and probably more important.
Yeah.
And certainly something that I'm going to be judged for more than, you know, stuff at work. I mean,
yeah,
this is my most essential thing in life.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. As you said, there's nothing more significant in my life that's been given to me other than God Himself than my wife and my children, and I have to care for them with my life.
Yeah.
What do you say to people a lot of times? You say, well, okay, team, the Crossing the Goal team, you know, I want to serve the Lord. What are ways that I can serve the Lord? You know, I do prayer, I do these certain things. You know, we can step out and do some other things. What are some things that you guys would suggest?
For me, it's when whatever God puts in front of me. If I start my day thinking, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do that, I get way off track. But if I say a prayer and say, Lord, help me to serve you as you see fit, He will put opportunities in front of me all day long.
Yeah, and if you walk with that, practicing the presence of God, you know, you're kind of aware of the Lord's presence, and I'm walking with Him each day. Lord, I want to be attentive. Who am I calling to serve today? And He'll bring situations and people into your life. And that's kind of the day-to-day. But also, God's given us gifts and charisms
that
He wants us to use for the building of the kingdom. So learning, what are the gifts God's given me? What are the charisms He's given me? And how can I exercise those in helping build up the body?
I think also we're serving Him, like in Focus, you're serving Him through your ministry and each of our ministries. We also serve Him in various ways. Like you said, He'll put things in our life.
Yeah.
But you can also step out at church. Like a couple of weeks ago, we had the list to sign up.
Yeah.
Your talents.
Stewardship.
Sign up to do this. I'll do a reader. I'll take the collection. There's something out there you can do. Say, well, I can't go speak. But there's other things you can be involved.
There's that whole world of corporal works of mercy too, where you know, so there's people in prison, there's the poor, there's the sick. They're all out there. There's a lot of lonely people in old folks' homes and things like that we could go serve and just bring the love of God. But we were talking up there about John Paul II. One of the things he said was, the servant is focused on the project of the master. Curtis, what's the project of the master?
He's building his kingdom, right? We're told in the very first two sentences in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. First, what is eternal life? It's to know God, to be in relationship with Him. And then who is that for? The second sentence of the Catechism says that. God desires that all men would come to the knowledge of truth. And so this is a universal project to get to know people. And, you know, as we're walking through on a college campus and sitting down with people, this works anywhere, but to just sit down and look at, we can be in different positions with regards to our relationship with God. There are people who don't know God. There are people who know about Him but aren't really following Him. Next, there are people that are following Him but need to really learn how to mature in that. Then there are people who really want to follow Him and they're pursuing it. And then those who are willing to make sacrifices to help other people. And I love to ask people, you know, where in that spectrum do you find yourself? Do you not know God? Do you know Him, but you don't know how to follow Him? Are you ready to sacrifice to help other people know Him? Where do you fall? And then a second question, where would you like to be? Where do you think God would like you to be? And if there's a gap there, then we really have an opportunity for the work of evangelization, to help people draw closer to Christ and jump onto mission and join Him, because it is a project. There is no other project that is even close. This is the project of Almighty God.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we are serving the Lord through Crossing the Goal. I know we pray about that every time we get together. It is our heart's desire. We'll get the last word from our Crossing the Goal team members in the end zone next, right here on Crossing the Goal. Reach the end zone now in our show on Serve the Lord as we continue our series on Marks of the True Christian. And before we go to the last word with our Crossing the Goal team members, let's go to our email bag. We've got an email from Dallas. Mike says, I enjoy watching Crossing the Goal. Keep up the good work. My question, what do Jesus and the saints say regarding confidence and how to maintain it under difficult circumstances? Do you guys have any personal tips? Well, Mike, I can tell you that if I keep my confidence in God, I call it God confidence instead of self-confidence, I can be as confident as can be. When I get into self-confidence, not so much. And Peter, what does the writer of Hebrews have to say about this specifically?
You know, part of how he describes what confidence in God means is focusing on God's promises and that God never lies. He's trustworthy. Listen to this, verse 35, chapter 10. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance so that you may do the will of God and receive what he has promised you. So Paul, what Paul is saying, or the writer of Hebrews is saying here, is to say, remember his promises to you. They're motivating. Remember the rewards. Remember the fact that he's coming again, and stir that up in you, and you'll be able to live in greater confidence and act in faith as a result.
It's Paul, the author.
I'm confident.
This is the beautiful thing. It's a great question, because the word confidence literally means con with fide, faith, with faith. All the saints live with faith. They have confidence. And Paul continues on in Hebrews and says this about it. The goal is we have to trust God, as you said, and look where he's leading us. And this is what we're told about Christ himself. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus had confidence in God the Father, even though he was enduring the cross, because he had deep joy in where he was going. This will lead us to have great, great faith in God.
It's a shame these guys don't have enough confidence.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean, it's an important question, though, because our confidence
because
is in God's nature, in who God is, not our own strengths or weaknesses.
Exactly.
You know?
It's all in him. All right, let's get the last word on serve the Lord, starting with Peter.
Just want to say, brothers, that the Lord has given us this privileged position. He's given it to you because he loves you. He's called you by name into his service, and he wants to lead you into glory. He wants you to take part in his great mission for the salvation of the whole world and bring you into the Father's house and say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Amen. And I think one of the ways that we as Catholics in a particular way have been reminded, and where you have to take great confidence, is that this is the perfect time, as we talk about serving the Lord, to find the greatest servant of the Lord that God ever created, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and recognize that she's a mother who will lead us into service. Her whole being proclaimed the greatness of the Lord, because she served him with every fiber of her being. And she will not only pray for us, but also through her modeling, be a mother to us and lead us to serve the Lord the way he desires to be served.
I think a lot of us out there are trying to think, you know, how can I serve the Lord? And I think the Lord, you know what he wants us to do is not look all around. He wants us to serve the Lord right in our home, whether it be in your family, whether it be older parents, whether your wife or family, or friends or whatever it is. That's where he wants us to start. Get out of yourself and serve others and watch the joy you bring to them and to yourself.
All right, Coach, Curtis, Peter, thank you. We are very excited about our next show. It's called Rejoice in Hope. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in hope. Next time on Cross of the Goal, we hope to see you then.